Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. It is exactly to suck on that, AJ. It's exactly 10 o'clock. All right, hit the break.
Oh, they didn't have their college basketball argument during the break.
No, they were talking about other stuff.
We didn't have a college basketball argument.
You did on Twitter.
It wasn't an argument. I destroyed him.
Didn't you suggest he should get fired?
There was no argument involved.
Did you tell him that you said he should get fired?
No, I didn't say he should
get fired.
I said if you argue, but he didn't argue with me. It was silly. Okay.
AJ asked what you said. AJ, earlier, very early in the show, he started the show talking about how program directors...
No, it wasn't early. It was with John Clay Wolf. I said that.
Maybe yes, earlier.
It was with John Clay Wolf.
Either way, you said it. John, I don't...
Because he was talking about the program director at Nashville.
Sure. You also took... Fine. He said, because you argue with the host, maybe your job should be in jeopardy.
Maybe so. John can have my job.
He said, John, you can have it.
I don't want that job. I had it. It sucked. It's all yours, AJ. Okay? 713-780-3776 if you'd like to be in here on ESPN 97.5. How about them Cougs, baby? How about them Cougs? Charlie's going to break it all down. We've been breaking it down all morning long. Dejon Giroux has been the best defensive player in this tournament. He has shut down two of the best scorers early on, Buddy Boeheim and then Ethan Thompson. Those two were that they basically carried their teams to until they played the Cougs, and then Dejon Giroux has turned that around. By the way, the offensive rebounding was spectacular. They shoot. That's the gang that can't shoot straight at times. They shoot 32% against Baylor, and they're going to lose by 25. Basically, they're going to D them up better. They're going to play slower, obviously. That was AJ's point, and it's true. I'm not talking about total points, though. I mean, the field goal percentage was just ridiculous. And when I was talking about in the first half, the Arkansas-Baylor game, that the Cougs are going to D up better than Arkansas. They're going to D up better. They are better defensively. They just are. And they've proven that every game of this tournament. So if you're looking for, it's going to be fun. Hopefully it'll be a good, listen, the Cougs are looking for a 62-60 game. That's what they're looking for. If this thing gets into the 70s, they lose. This thing, if Baylor, God forbid, Baylor scores 81 points like they did last night, this game, I mean, the Cougs don't have a chance. No chance. They've got to keep Baylor in the 60s. It ain't easy, but it wasn't. Hey, they kept Syracuse from at 46, the lowest total they've ever had in the NCAA tournament under Boeheim, which is how many tournament games has Boeheim had? 70-some?
Yeah, it's been around, 30-plus years as a head coach there now?
I mean, whatever, however many, it's the lowest output ever. Now, that said, Baylor's got a lot of options offensively. Syracuse didn't.
Yeah, and Syracuse, they weren't a bubble team per se, but yeah, they're a different caliber than Baylor.
Baylor's the number two team in the country.
Yeah, one of the best teams in the country, and it'll be the Cougs' biggest test. We were talking about seeding before, and it seems like a long time ago, where they would be seeded because their schedule wasn't particularly tough. I mean, they had the Tech game early in the year, but other than that, there wasn't a real marquee matchup. I mean,
and they beat LSU.
Yeah,
as well.
And LSU certainly played well enough to make the tournament too. But Baylor is in a different tier than those two as well. So
yeah,
it'll be something they haven't seen before. But I think the way they play the game, I think lends them to believe that hey, we play defense that doesn't go away. Our defense will keep us in it, and hopefully they can generate some offense.
Listen. You're playing Baylor. No, they played LSU last year and beat them. Not this year. They beat Tech this year. That was the best team that they'd played previously, too. The number 14 team in the country. That's the only ranked team the Cougs had played all year long. LSU win was last year. Listen, you're playing Baylor. There's two teams in all college basketball that are head and shoulders. Michigan has proven that they're there, too. Michigan has proven that they're pretty damn good. But most all season long, until Baylor lost late in the year and then lost to Oklahoma State, it was Gonzaga and Baylor. And Baylor's playing like that team again. That's one, that 1-2 punch. The best two teams in the country are Gonzaga and Baylor. And you're in another neighborhood now, in a whole different price range now. So, there's nothing going to be easy about this. But they will give them a better defensive battle than Arkansas did last night.
And that was the crux of your discussion with AJ.
That's it. That's all I said. Yes. Was they're going to be Baylor looks good, but it's a whole nother level when you're playing Cougs defensively. Cougs playing defensive versus Arkansas's. His point was, well, Arkansas was a good defensive team this year. Not last night.
Yeah.
They sucked last night.
I guess if the argument would be, is Baylor so good offensively that they made Arkansas look bad, or just Arkansas had a bad night?
That's what he said. It was the. Arkansas was not playing that same defense that they or these teams that Arkansas was playing in the postseason were really unbelievable offensively. I'm not believing that. Everybody had a double-digit lead on Arkansas. Everybody.
Yeah, then they Oral Roberts had a big lead. They had to fight back.
They had every game. They've been trailing by double digits. Every game in this tournament, Arkansas was. They did not play the same defense in the tournament that they played all year long.
Yeah, credit to them for fighting back, but they weren't apparently the same team they were throughout the regular season. And maybe just the level of competition went up and they couldn't respond outside. Obviously, they made runs to get back in it. So that'll be the question. We talk about the Cougs and their schedule. Is Baylor just so much better than anyone they face that those defensive numbers are inflated, or does that defense travel no matter who they face? So, and we'll find that out on Saturday.
We'll find that out. No, the Cougs are a good defensive team.
No, I'm not suggesting they're not. Because they play good teams in their conference, but
they haven't played anybody this caliber.
No. So, they're elite defensively currently. We'll see what Baylor does to mitigate some of that.
And Kelvin Sampson is, I'm going to take Kelvin Sampson against anybody, especially on the defensive end. Kelvin Sampson knows how to shut down their best scorer, but shutting down Baylor's best scorer doesn't mean that you're going to stop Baylor offensively, because Baylor's got a lot of options.
Yeah, and I wonder if bad shots by Houston could lead to early offense for Baylor.
Yeah.
Because Houston can take bad shots.
Yeah, but their transition defense is still good.
Once again, they're one of the best defensive teams in the country. But teams like Baylor, who are the best teams in the country, take advantage of anything you do that you do poorly.
Well,
so if Houston takes bad shots and it opens up transition opportunities, that's a way Baylor can get some easy buckets. And I think Houston needs to be a team that, making shots is clearly what you want, but avoiding taking bad shots that lead to court imbalance is another thing they're gonna have to worry about.
Right. Well, I mean, they scored 74 against Oklahoma State. They score 74. They scored 58 against Kansas, did Baylor. But otherwise, they're in the 80s, 70s. They scored 67 against TCU. I mean, that's the kind of game that they're going to need to play. Otherwise, Baylor is scoring now. Baylor is scoring points. And we saw. And you look,
well, Villanova held them to 62, which was the Sweet 16 game. So we've seen them, even in the tournament, they had the faucet got cut off a little bit by Villanova.
That's the kind of game that they've got to play. That's the kind of game that the Cougs have got to play. No question. Let's get Dennis in here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted. I'm sitting here looking at my Houston Texans season ticket invoice. I've been a season ticket member for about 10, 12 years now. And I'm thinking to myself, why do I want to pay this? And so then I started thinking, why would anybody want to be a Texans fan right now with JJ gone, with D-Hop's gone, and now with all this going on with Deshaun? And so I wanted to ask you guys, you know, what are the good reasons to be a Texans fan right now? And I just want to hear what you guys want to say, and also wanted to give some love out to the Lady Longhorns who had a big win the other night too. So hook them, and I'll listen.
Okay, I'm with you. I've been a season ticket holder since day one, and I'm not renewing mine. I'm just tired of giving them money, and I'm just not. That's my personal preference. I don't enjoy going. Like, the games were great. I was on the sideline for the first 5 years, and you know, that's when it was exciting, and you know, everybody was, and football, NFL was back and everything else, and that sold itself. And then, you know, then they got pretty good with Matt Schaub and those teams. That was a good time to be a Texan fan. You had some hope. They didn't do anything with it, but that you had some hope. And then Bill O'Brien came along, and not so much fun. Actually, they were hard to root for. They were hard to like. And now they're just, it's just the most incompetent organization in all of sports.
You have been vocal, depending on the team, what their bad behavior has made you less of a fan. LSU, the prime example, back in the Les Miles years. I know you had your thoughts on Roberto Osuna. If Deshaun, let's say Deshaun does a year of penance, has to sit out because NFL puts him on the exempt list for a year, so he's suspended for a year, and he's settling because these accounts are deemed credible, does he become a player you still want to root for?
You know, I didn't root for Osuna, but I still rooted for Astros. LSU, I kind of got off of him, but I'm still an LSU fan.
And Osuna came about, what, how many appearances? He wasn't the main part of the team. Now, if Deshaun's there, he's the quarterback. Does that change?
He will be harder to root for. I was asked the other day, literally, I was asked the other day, the biggest moment for you in Houston sports since you've been here. And Bregman's homer against Sale in Boston. We were there, jumped out of the seat. It was unbelievable. But there are very few jump out. I mean, Bregman's hit against in game five to score Fisher to win that game. But Deshaun Watson, when I realized that Deshaun Watson was going to get drafted by the Houston Texans, I actually jumped off the couch. JT was there, and I was pumped. It was one of the best moments in, which is sad, but one of the best moments in sports here, that Deshaun was coming here. And that certainly is changed. That certainly is. It's not, I mean, what it's, to me, this is unbelievable. This, all of this is just incredible, that this guy has gone from where he was to where he is now.
If I said, now you have to, you understand that his talent, but if I told you that the Texans could trade Deshaun Watson for the fourth pick, and you knew you're, and plus other picks, and you knew you were getting Trey Lance, would you just like, you know what, just beat it? Yes. I don't even want you here. Let's get that done.
Yep. Let somebody else take this problem on.
Okay.
Yep. I mean, and you know what? You just, now you got to take the L. You didn't get rid of him before, when the iron was hot. You now you're sitting there with what was an asset is now possibly a liability because he won't even play. I mean, you got, this is bad. And as far as his question is concerned, it's not that I don't, I'm going to watch every game and I'll root for him, and I'm hoping, I certainly would like to see David Culley not be Bo Culley. I would like to see him, you know, be able to get a chance here. I'd like to see Caserio actually, turn this around after those years. But, you know, Bill O'Brien is gone, so you'll be easier to root for. You're not hateable. But I just don't think, that Cal's too, he's too incompetent to be, I'm not going to put everything into it that I put it before. That's for sure. Well, I'll be a Texan fan and hope they win, but I ain't going out of my way. Not anymore, and I'm certainly not going to give them my money anymore. 10:14 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
I'm in love with the Coco. I'm in love with the Coco.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
10:18 on ESPN 97.5. Way to go, Cougs. Cougs in the Final Four, taking on Baylor. You got two games tonight, USC and Gonzaga, UCLA and Michigan. We'll see if the one Pac-12 team eliminated. We'll see if the other two, if any of them. Pac-12 has been one of the major stories of this tournament. How well they've played, how poorly the Big Ten has played. Michigan is their only saving grace.
And they've been considered the best team all year. We saw Illinois, I think, win the conference tournament. But I watched Michigan quite a bit against Florida State just because I was hate watching Florida State. They're so well skilled and unique compared to the rest of the college basketball with their offense because they have big-to-big passing. The younger Wagner brother, I think his
Wagner.
His brother just got traded someplace. I forgot. And their passing big-to-big is pretty good. Their ability to just to find cutters and get guys open, it's less beat a guy off the dribble, pick and roll stuff. Their ball movement is pretty cool to watch when you start to compare them to other teams and how they run offense in college basketball. They force you to be sound defensively throughout. There's always an option for the next pass. I like Michigan tonight. It's not saying very much, but I'm not sure it'll be close.
Really?
Yeah. I know UCLA's
played well.
They played well, but I think Michigan is one of those different animal type deals where, sure, I mean, you had a good run, but you're the 11 seed and you're playing one of the best teams in the country, and I think it shows tonight. UCLA should be commended for what they've done, but I think it ends.
I think USC and Gonzaga is going to be close, although Gonzaga's battle-tested. You know, they play in a smaller conference, obviously, but they weren't afraid of anybody, and when they, in big games, they stepped up and they're so talented. But I still think USC is going to give them a go. I do. We'll see. I'll take the points. I don't think USC is going to win, but I'll take those points. It'll be interesting to see Gonzaga tested finally, because they've just been kicking everybody's ass.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see if they are. You're right. They haven't been, and for whatever reason, I just feel like the Pac-12, their run in tonight. I wouldn't particularly mind one of them springing an upset. Although we did have that talk about the upsets are cool until it ruins your Final Four, but I like the two favorites kind of easily tonight for whatever reason.
Really?
Yeah. College basketball is the unique thing where the Final Four is what everyone talks about, even though once you make it, there's still two more games you have to win. Like the Final Four, want to make the Final Four. It's not. No one talks about winning the championship until you get to the Final Four. It's always about the Final Four being the goal,
right?
And it's unique. I don't know any other sports that treats the semifinals.
I don't think that's
like
the case
that.
With Gonzaga anymore.
No, I know they have a goal. They've been right there long enough. But the stated goal for even the title contenders is always the goal is to make the Final Four. And then obviously once you get there, then that second goal of winning the championship. But it's what other sport treats the semifinals like that?
No, none. But the Final Four is an event opposed to, you know, like tennis, everything is played in the same place. And I don't know, golf, you can't relate to it because it's different. But, you know, getting to the World Series is...
But that's the championship series.
Right, that's a championship series.
I guess
this is more or less the championship series.
No, I get it. Understood. Like the other one is it's probably just a college thing because the College World Series treated the same way.
Yes, get to the College World Series.
It's the same,
but it's
thing.
Harder to get to the Final Four than the College World Series. There's eight spots,
true,
as opposed to just the four.
That's true. There's but you have to win more games to get to the College World Series once you make the playoffs.
You got to win your pod, you gotta, and you got to win the Super Regional.
You got So actually, it's pretty similar. You got to win. Yeah. You got to win four.
Yeah.
You got to win four.
Yeah.
Or unless you go into the loser's bracket, then you have to win four.
Right. You can't. There is no loser's bracket. I think the basketball is a lot tougher.
Actually, you have to win five. You have to win the region, and then the Super Regional is two out of three. Yeah.
Hey, we just a little behind the scenes. There's a poll out now. Jay Hart has written an article on Yahoo. He said, you know, we talk a lot about TV ratings and they're down. They're down dramatically. Sports ratings down over the last year. A Yahoo YouGov poll conducted last week, around 34.5% of sports fans say the intersection of sports and politics has caused them to watch less sports versus 11% who say they are watching more.
Because of politics and sports?
Because people of politics and sports.
They're watching more.
34.5%. And he said, well, no ship, Sherlock. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's very easy for me to not be bothered by it. I'm not bothered by much, but it's like, you know what? Oh, a player is protesting by kneeling. You know what? I kind of know when the game's going to start. I can avoid that particular part of the show.
Yeah, I think it's more than it's even more than kneeling, though.
But what would it be?
There's all kinds of signage. There's all kinds of
from players.
Yeah. Well, you mean in arenas,
t-shirts and stuff that they wear.
Yeah, t-shirts and everything else. And now there's all kinds of. Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's more. There's more of everything right now. He says, now 34.5%, and it's not just old fogies. It's not just get off my lawn guy. He said, while the 18 to 29 demo is more tolerant of politics, there's still a negative of 10% per this poll, like, even with younger people.
Like the U.S. soccer team, not the one who failed to qualify for the Olympics, but the senior team was playing in Europe a couple matches. And the coach, Greg Berhalter, who you interviewed now, I guess maybe two or three years ago now, I don't know how long ago that was, whenever he got initially hired, he had a shirt that the team personnel who weren't playing were wearing shirts that said Black Lives Still Matter. And there was another statement involved in the shirt. And are those the type of things that get people agitated?
But I think Black Lives Matter, but also like Greg Popovich, Steve Kerr, just this week, Steve Kerr was like, why is somebody doing this? Why are we doing this? And Steve Kerr, you know, I mean, again, it's stay in your lane. I don't care what your pulpit is. I don't want it in my sports.
No, see, I get that. The only thing I would push back on is Steve Kerr is being asked. No, Steve Kerr is being asked before a game. If you don't want to hear Steve Kerr speak, you don't have to listen. You don't have to listen. There's a game to be played where Steve Kerr doesn't talk.
Well, no, you don't hear him. It's on. Steve Kerr said this about this, and it's on ESPN.
Well, that's
and then you know, then I'm not watching Steve Kerr. And you know what I'm saying? Whatever the case may be. Well, hey, we've had an edict here. Just a little pulling the curtains back. We've had an edict here. We ain't talking about it anymore.
I just think
we don't want to talk about. We're not talking about kneeling. We're not talking about even vaccination. You know what? You don't want to get vaccinated. Don't get vaccinated. You want to get vaccinated? Get vaccinated. You know what? It turns people. It does. It has a negative impact.
I'm not fighting that it negatively impacts people and their thoughts. I just feel like it's an easy thing to avoid seeing if you really want to not see it, because if you love sports and you just want to watch games, the games don't, at least in my eyes, once the game starts, I don't hear any of that. It's just a game. Now after it, when those guys are actually asked questions and they have the voices, that's open.
There's on NBA courts, there's Black Lives Matter signage
on the court still
on the court. Yes. And you want to see a picture of an arena?
Here's during the NBA Finals, but it's still going on.
There's the NBA, a picture of Black Lives Matter all over an
whose
NBA
court.
Court.
I didn't know. Whose court is that?
It looks like Boston and Portland. Portland are playing. It looks like Toronto. Toronto and Boston.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Boston's court, it looks like. Anyway, whatever the case may be, politics has certainly infused itself into sports. I mean, there's no denying it. And this poll shows don't want it in my sports.
Some 11% actually like it more, apparently.
11% versus 34%.
Yeah.
Right. 34% says they're not watching anymore. But that's a message, though, and we know sports viewing is down. It's a message, though, to them to separate. We need a separation of sports and state, of sports and politics, just like church and state. We need a separation of that. I'm here for entertainment. I don't want to be. And you know what, though? I'm not gonna. We're obviously not going to be able to tell LeBron. We're not going to be able to tell whomever. And the media is not going to still ask those same questions. That's going to happen. But I think it's pretty well out there.
For me,
I want to watch my sports.
For me, it's easy to separate the two. Maybe because I'm just not specifically bothered by the topics being brought up. Maybe because I feel they're worthwhile. But I don't even think about like the Heat were playing the Knicks last night. The politics didn't enter my mind once. I was like, could we end a 6-game losing streak, please, was my thought. Maybe other people are – clearly other people are more bothered by that stuff than me. I just want to watch the game, and it was easy for me to do that. But maybe I'm just one of the people who doesn't get bothered by that
stuff.
You're
not. Well, yeah. Only 34 – there's still 66% that don't care.
Yeah.
Either way. It's 1029 ESPN 975-713-780-3776. If you want to get in on this or talk about your Cougs, let's go. Get in here. Let's go get some Cougs talk.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here. The Cougs, a big story. In the Final Four, can't be happier for Kelvin Sampson and his family. That scene on the court was awesome with them all hugging, and you could tell that there were tears flying. That's just great. Kellen and Kelvin's wife, it was just awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Actually, I don't think we've hit on this, Dale. Nick Caserio actually commented on the whole Deshaun Watson deal. He said he did have this to say. It's a legal process, so we're certainly respectful of that. We certainly take them very seriously. The allegations, what's been discussed, are certainly troubling organizationally. That's not something that we can condone, those type of actions. But again, we'll let the legal process take care of itself. You like, I don't know. I don't know that. That's the wording I would have used. I don't know that that's not something that we can condone, those types of actions, when in fact it's not. They're just allegations. Yet there are allegations. Let this play out.
Didn't he call them disturbing?
Yeah, they're disturbing. It is just. It's certainly troubling. He said.
Okay.
The allegations, what's been discussed, are certainly troubling. Yes. Okay. I would agree with that. I don't know about organizationally. That's not something we can condone, those types of actions, because they're just right now, they're just allegations.
Well, maybe that might just be all encompassing. Maybe, hey, we don't even condone the fact that he's going to massage parlors looking for sexual gratification, allegedly.
Well, no, but we don't know that that's even true yet.
Well, haven't they admitted to that already? At least one instance?
No, where he said consensual... that they had consensual sex. It doesn't mean he's looking for it. They had consensual sex. So, I mean, I just think, I don't know. Listen, maybe this is an indication that Deshaun is in a place where he can't come back from with the organization.
Maybe it's a place where, hey, we'll say what we choose. And if he don't like it, he already told us he didn't want to be here. So
yeah.
Why do we care what he doesn't like, what we have to say?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, we don't want him here anymore.
Yeah.
With these allegations.
Yeah. The Texans maybe, the whole talent or morality over talent thing has been a long-standing thing with the organization, but they may not be all that tutti-frutti, which was something that used to be said around here about just the thing of him going to those places looking for sex. Let's say they believe that aspect of it. Maybe they're not going to condemn him on the basis of some of the stuff being non-consensual because they don't know that. But that might be enough to be like, nah, it's not our guy. It's not what we want around here. We don't condone that stuff. Beat it.
Yeah, it's certainly not accusatory. It's not inflammatory. It's none of those Tories. But it is interesting that now they've decided to make a statement. I think he's probably in a place that, you know, even if it all comes out or nothing comes out in the wash, he settles all of these things. This is not a thing that the Texans organization has ever been able to put up with.
I don't know how those things go. You could probably speak to it more than me. Like, how much interactions do star players have off the field with management, ownership, executives? Like, do they go to charity events? Do they hang out with those people? Hey, Deshaun, could you come to the charity thing that we're doing? I don't know how that's – like, that might – like, those interactions that they have, and that might be something where they're like, we're more than just – you're more than a football player. We're kind of allegedly a family. And that's a bad look for the family when the guy who we take pictures with is also the guy who's going to massage their therapist looking for that.
I don't care what team he's with now going forward. I mean, can you ever – I mean, it's always this hanging over his head. I don't care if he settles with all of them or doesn't settle or it's fine. These allegations, and he's not the face – yeah, no, he, that stuff does happen. Hey, because you got to do that with, Deshaun, will you please, this is really important to the organization. Can you show up at this and can you maybe say a few words or can you represent us in this or this charity event or season ticket suite holders or whatever the case or sponsors? We want to have an event. We'd love to have you there. It would be great. All of those things. You know who can't go now?
Yeah.
All of those things.
It just popped in my head because I remember when we were trying to – Hannah McNair, her name came up. And you type in her name, there's a picture of her hanging out with Deontay Foreman for some charity event. And Deontay Foreman wasn't a prominent player, but somehow they developed a relationship where it became a thing where he was at one of her events or she was at one of the events, however it took place. You think she wants to have a picture with Deshaun smiling at a charity now? Or do any of them want that going forward?
No.
With this hanging over his head?
No. No. And you know, and every time that it's mentioned, teams hate it. The Houston Texans quarterback, Deshaun Watson, 20 lawsuits now. Are you kidding me? This is, it can't be worse. Somebody asked, do you think Deshaun knew about this and wanted to get out of town? And that's why he was. No, I think it had to do with the whole Cal McNair bumbling, stumbling, idiotic, the way Cal handled
it. Tony Busby, didn't he say that Deshaun, wasn't there some intimation maybe denied by the Watson camp that there was an approach made beforehand, right, about this? Actually, Deshaun said this guy in his statement, his initial and only statement was, this is a lawyer looking for money and so forth. So I believe there was some interaction before this became public. I don't know if it happened in that December time or November time frame where Deshaun was like, I want out. But there was, but allegedly they had a conversation beforehand before this became public. Would Deshaun say, get me out of here?
Well, that's not November, December. When did, I want out was in January.
Well, exactly.
After the season.
Well, exactly. Okay, then it's even later on. But there was talk that Busby had approached Deshaun about this beforehand.
I got the impression that that was more recent to Busby's announcements.
Okay.
I got the impression. You may be right. I don't know. It would be somebody told me I knew about this 5 months ago, 6 months ago. And if that guy knew about it, there's a good chance Deshaun knew about it. But I don't.
So
I don't think it was, I got to get out of here kind of thing. It was, this organization is just, that whole walking off the field with JJ telling him, we're sorry we wasted your another season of yours. I think that might have been where he was like, man, this organization is. And look at, they wasted Andre's career, they wasted JJ's career, and now they're going to waste mine?
I mean, we're doing some galaxy brain thinking, trying to get into the mind of, and in the timeline. But if he knew, if he was approached and he knew something was coming down the pike, and he thought to himself, if I can distance myself by getting out of town and I'm traded and the other team has already traded for me, I could, and he's getting this type of pushback from people in town about what he's doing, I could see him saying, you know what, it ain't a great situation here, in professionally or personally. Maybe it's time to cut and run.
Or I got to find a city with some new masseuses.
You think the stockpile got depleted, so he had to go?
Dude, how many's he had?
Well, how many
massage? He was going to Atlanta and L.A. now.
Well, how many massage therapists exist? I mean, it's got to be hundreds.
He's already been through Houston.
Well,
needs another zip code.
Either way, I don't know why. Well, let's just stick with football reasoning. Although I can see the thought that he didn't like what was going on in his personal life, so he wanted out of town. Either way, he's stuck here, I feel like, for at least a year, at least a season. Yeah,
Sean. As a matter of fact, you ain't going.
You're not even
you
gonna
ain't
play.
Going on. You ain't going to be on the field anywhere. You ain't traveling anywhere, Deshaun.
Well, he can travel, just not with any NFL team.
Nope. You want to get Tom in here before we take a break? Let's get him in here. Hey, Tom.
Good morning. I want to point something out that I haven't been hearing from the talk shows, and this is just one for, like, it helps explain things. So if you look at any of the Deshaun Watson cases and the filings that the lawyer have done, they're not large dollar amounts attached to any of them. So how does a lawyer like Tony Busby make a lot of money from it? Well, the answer is that he keeps specifically mentioning trainers from the Texans booking some of the massages. So the play here is to go after the Texans because that's where all the money is. And if he can rope this together and get it focused on the Texans as an organization being part of a criminal enterprise or activity, then that's where they make all the money. I'm saying Deshaun Watson isn't the primary target. The Texans are the target, and Deshaun Watson is the vehicle that they're using to go after the Texans.
We actually talked about
that's where the payday is.
If you were to listen this morning, Tom, that was
maybe he's the guy.
This might be the guy that sent Lance the letter. I don't know.
Who knows?
But Tom, we talked about that earlier today. That Lance got a letter from an alleged lawyer who said that very thing, that the Texans are really the target here. It could be. I don't know. That's a real possibility. And that's where you're right. That's where the money is, because there's going to be a limited amount of resources from Deshaun Watson. Now, he's asking for the minimum, but the pain and suffering that's going to be unlimited with, and especially the ones that are alleging forced oral. So that pain and suffering, probably going to be a bigger number than the just casual touching, the movement by Deshaun where they accidentally touched it and they were exposed to it, and
he's thrusting in the air,
and the thrust, now there's thrusting going on. Somebody sent a little chihuahua humping a leg.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see
it. Yeah.
Put Deshaun's face on the dog, and I'll look at it.
No, we're not doing that. Yeah, that certainly is in play. That would be certainly a much bigger play, because the Texans have a lot more money than Deshaun does. So, if that's the case, and they can prove that the Texans knew about it, and I don't know if condone is the right word,
I don't know. We're not lawyers. I don't know how you draw that path to the Texans. They'd have to have messages and paperwork.
Seems like a long path to draw.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, but who knows? I mean, this is a law, and maybe you know what? And everything's a money grab in our society.
I got to watch more Law and Order.
Let's go. 1045, that's not civil. That's criminal. That Law and Order ain't doing what this is all about.
That's true.
Law and Order. We're just about justice, truth, justice, and the American way.
Mm-hmm.
Time to take a break and get on the other side with news of the weird. Don't go anywhere.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN. Did you see this Lil Nas X Satan shoe, Del? Are you familiar with this?
I saw the response to it by some people. Even Trevor Lawrence quote tweeted it. He wasn't thrilled.
Well, Nike is suing him, saying, hey.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah, Nike's like, wait a minute. We don't want a Satan shoe.
Yeah, apparently Nike did not sanction it. Now it's one of their more popular shoes in a different colorway with the drop of human blood in it. Like, hey, we didn't give you permission to do that.
No, we don't want Satan shoes. Why can't we have Jesus shoes? Okay, but now that Nike will get behind, because you know Nike is all about the people.
Yeah, just ask the workers in those countries that they don't treat well. Nike is suing the art collective behind the Lil Nas X Satan shoes that sparked the social media backlash. So it used one of their most popular shoes for the collaboration, and Nike's like, hey, we didn't say you could do that. Don't use our shoes to collaborate with Satan, I guess. Knock it off. And because people have threatened to boycott Nike, and Nike's like, hey, we didn't tell them to do that.
No.
Don't come after us.
No, we're not doing that. Dal, did you know that right now your vibrator can alert you when your food delivery is going
to
come?
I don't have a vibrator, but that's good to know.
Well, more than a year and a lock to staying home because of the pandemic, people have been accustomed to ordering food. Well, now a company called Cam Soda, using the power of internet-connected toys like the trusty vibrator through GrubBuzz that alerts its user the status of one's order by sending vibrations to the toy. Do you think that you want to know when your food is arriving through your vibrator?
I can do that online. There are a lot of apps that'll tell you how quickly or how long it'll take your food. I don't need the vibrator.
Okay. Well, it just...
And you stop... I would ask that you stop couching your... or setting up your sentences with your vibrator. I told you I don't have one.
Well, I'm... You're in the usted sense.
But you said, Dell...
No.
Your vibrator.
Your vibrator.
Then tell it to the people. Don't say, Dell, your vibrator.
Well, I'm just saying.
No.
Okay.
Your vibrator. That's fine. Don't say, hey, Dell, do you want your vibrator to tell you when your food's coming? I don't have one.
Do you, usted?
Explain that then. Don't just go off with what you were doing.
Dell.
Uh-huh. See, there it is. Again.
A woman makes $4,000 a month selling videos of herself farting.
Are you specifically asking me this time?
Do you think that you could fart and make $4,000 a month farting into videos?
Nah. I don't know if I have... First, I don't have the camera equipment. Unless maybe I could film it with my iPhone. Is she doing it naked or is she just farting?
She's doing it... She doesn't look like she would do it... I hope she's not doing it naked.
See, now we're body shaming.
Yeah, no, I'm just hoping. Well,
what are you hoping for? You don't care. You're not going to see
anyway.
She could be naked, not naked. You're not going to watch it.
She's hot now.
You wouldn't watch it. Stop it. You wouldn't watch it. You're not watching it.
She says one of my favorites is coleslaw and baked beans mixed together.
Oh.
I ate a lot of that too.
Oh, so that combination helps her fart, is what she's saying?
Apparently.
Oh, that's terrible. No.
Are you going to watch the Food Network's cannabis cooking series Chopped 420 competition?
I don't care about cooking shows, so no. Adding weed to the mix ain't gonna help.
Yeah,
I am gonna watch Godzilla versus King Kong.
You are gonna watch
comes out this week.
Well, that has no cannabis in it.
Well, you it make the movie better if you're high.
If you're high, yeah, but that doesn't have any in it.
Look, I'm going to watch. Not that. That doesn't sound interesting to me at all. But big monsters fighting each other, I'm all in. HBO Max.
A woman accused of hitting a child with her car says she's innocent. She was trying to run over someone else.
That's not how innocence or guilt works.
Well, that, she didn't mean that. She meant to hit somebody else.
That's maybe someone should inform her that admitting you hit the wrong target doesn't help you.
Well, I don't know. Apparently, she thinks that's going to help her situation. I'm pretty sure that's not going to. Hey, an Italian mobster was nabbed, Dell. That's a good thing, right?
No, I don't know.
What do you mean?
You mean nabbed by the police or just
by the police.
Okay.
You know how they caught him?
How?
They caught him because of his YouTube cooking videos showing his tattoos.
Don't we know that the best criminals, we don't even know their names? Because they're so,
right.
they don't ever make themselves visible. Like, that was the thing from, what the hell's American Gangster with Denzel. He was like, don't be extravagant.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
The greatest Chicago mafioso, you never even knew who he was.
And that's how he became that.
That's right.
And never had to go to jail.
That's right.
Criminals never learn.
And, oh, by the way, it's a cooking video, dude. I mean, really not bringing...
That's what you're going to bring attention to yourself with?
Really not. He's bringing some shame.
You know what? You like to cook.
I like to cook, but I ain't putting out any videos.
You wouldn't...
Every Italian likes to cook.
You wouldn't put a video of you cooking sugo? Making that whole process?
There's no videos.
You wouldn't do that?
I got no videos out there. No, I ain't telling everybody how to make my sugo.
I ain't giving up
my sugo.
Oh,
Capital riot suspect arrested. Why do you think he was arrested, Del?
Why was he arrested? Capital rioter. Did he? I don't know, John. Outside,
wearing
you know,
a T-shirt said "I was there."
My head hurts. God,
what's wrong?
You're doing something. You were in the midst of committing a treasonous act. You had. It took, I don't know, it's March 30th, so we're going on 3 months since. And you just couldn't keep quiet about it.
Mm-hmm.
You had escaped being captured for 3 months, and you want to tell people you're there?
Yeah.
Well, so, you deserve everything you get at this point.
And finally, Trinity College in Perth has banned mullet haircuts.
Well,
do you think Florida should do the same?
Florida should ban other things first. Namely,
I don't know. Mullet's got to go.
Then what would Gardner Minshew do?
Do you like what Gardner Minshew is doing to his family?
He's not my quarterback.
His whole family?
Not my quarterback. He can do whatever he wants.
Embarrassing everyone?
They should ban Midwesterners before they ban mullets.
Do you think that you will ever have a mullet, though?
No, it's not a look I think would work for me. I don't think it's a look that works for many people, to be honest with you.
I don't think it works for any people,
no,
literally.
When you put a mullet on in this day and age, it's because you're trying to make a statement, not because you're trying to look good.
No.
No one does it to look good.
What statement are you making?
I'm a dope.
I'm a dumbass.
Yeah, look how stupid I look.
That's it. We're done. Charlie Pulido is next. He's going to talk a lot about the University of Houston. I'm sure of it. Next on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.